This is Rachel Vadine, Chair of Economic Development Committee, May 9th, calling the meeting to order. It is 6:36 p.m. We'll go around the room. Before we go, Jennifer Harmon is absent, Amanda Stein absent, Matt Lorenzen absent, Jules Walters absent.
And present, Jim Stalkup.
Russell Williams.
Shannon Knight.
And Darren Wise, staff.
All right, thank you. Note, approval of minutes, not ready for approval, so we'll go ahead and move on to the next item. Public comments, there is nobody present to share, so...
They're all at a game.
Potentially, they're at the game, or at their children's games. We'll just jump right into old business. Economic Development Action Plan. Shannon, would you touch on that since that you were with the council and the mayor and kind of regroup or recap what they had to share?
Well, I think John sent out that email that recapped everything. I think they were really big on us trying to figure out some way to do a study on transportation to see if how viable a shuttle would be.
Right.
And I know, you know, we said that Main Street's having that one this summer and and so, you know, if we can gather some information from that on like how many people are riding and that kind of stuff, and then maybe try to, since we're using the adult community center bus, maybe that we could use that to do a study on, you know, how many people would use it on a some kind of trial basis or whatever, just to have some numbers to figure out if it's viable or not.
Okay. And what are the dates for that again?
That Main Street's doing?
Yeah. Is that July?
June, July, August.
June, July, August.
And,
Sunday. How was the, I mean, this is kind of a little bit relevant, the wine bus thing, that, you know, that the tour around there, you know, that's a little...
Oh, it's this weekend.
It's this weekend, okay.
Mother's Day one, right?
Oh, it's Saturday before Mother's Day.
Right. Yeah, not quite. Day. Okay, no complicated. So, we don't have it printed out. I suggest that we probably kind of table the bulk of that to, you know, I don't have the printout to that. Does anybody, do we want to go over that now?
Pull it up.
I've got it right here.
But,
oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, and so council also asked about, you know, how Russell and I had talked about rezoning a lot of 43 to make it more, you know, less, more flow, where you have, don't go from
residential,
commercial to residential to commercial to residential, and having it more mixed use or something through there so that you have continuous flow of business through the whole thing. And originally when we brought that up, John had said that staff said they didn't have the time to work on that, so we didn't put it in our action plan, but council actually felt that it was important, so that we should try to figure out if we can how to do that, depending on what staff can do.
We're just going to, Matt, do you want to announce
that I'm here?
For the record.
Matt is present.
Matt Lorenzen is present. Sorry for being tardy. I tried to make it from Estacada, inhale some food, and get here, and it didn't all fit in the allotted time. Fortunately, traffic between Estacada and West Lane is not usually a challenge.
Oh, I just ran over to Oregon City and back, and it was...
The other thing that Councilor Relier brought up was about encouraging how to have some outreach to encourage disadvantaged businesses to bid on bond projects, and I don't know how we would go about doing that, but it was an interesting thought. They asked if we could do a survey at the farmers market, you know, just have surveys out there for people to fill out on what the city could be doing better for economic development. What else?
That survey should probably have a definition of what economic development actually means.
Yeah, we would. They would. So some of the stuff we talked about that, you know, we're limited in budget and in staff time and stuff like that on putting together, you know, something formal on the research on the shuttle bus or whatever. You know, we don't. You know, it'd be, you would have to hire a consultant probably because we don't really know how to do that kind of research and stuff like that. But it did say we could probably put together an easy survey. And so, you know, we would have to do that, come up with what kind of questions we would want to ask and have answers, kind of a thing. So that would be on us to put that survey. The market does start next month, first Wednesday of June. So if we wanted to come together with a survey, you know, I should probably do it next month so that I could be out there for the full market season.
And what was the next step that they say in taking the data from the survey, what would they like to see done?
Well, I don't know if they would saying that it was more to give us information.
Or they were suggesting this as a tool.
As a tool for us to get information on what we should be doing.
Okay.
So citizens' input to help drive our work here at the EDC.
Right. And then Terry Cummings had brought up that there was a Lyft Uber type thing that was, you know, big vans that only carried big groups of people around. It's called Ride with Via. So that could be an alternative for transportation as well. She said other cities are doing it and, you know, have some kind of funding for it. Mm-hmm. So that could be something we look into.
VIA?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then talked about the 43 stuff and creating like a health and wellness district along 43 since we have so many health and wellness businesses.
Did they give you at all any direction what they thought that might look like or what, like where they had, like as they showed this, where the scope of that might be? Because I mean 43, you know, there's a lot of limited. It's a great portion of it.
It was when we were talking about rezoning a lot of it, and that they said, you know, well, maybe it could be, you know, kind of framed as a health and wellness district if it's going to be more in the residential kind of homes and that kind of stuff where we rezone.
Okay.
And they wanted us to create and maintain a vacant commercial property inventory to be available for investors and brokers on the city's website and task that for Matt.
I saw that in your notes or in some set of notes that got distributed.
Yep.
So I believe AHA/Municode already has that tool built out. They kind of built it at our request and Estacada, and so in theory they ought to be able to just fire it up on the West Lynn site at some sort of cost, I'm sure, incremental cost. But, is there an IT person I should get with on that? Are they blessing that expenditure?
I don't know if they're blessing the expenditure, but they did ask for it, so.
Okay. Shane's IT,
Shane,
is that right?
Yeah, Shane's IT. And then, yeah, they continue. They liked us working on the water tourism, so they wanted to know if we could maybe meet with the Parks Board to discuss water tourism.
Okay.
B is only a lot available in 4 cities.
So maybe she was just thinking ahead of the game, perhaps.
New York, Chicago, D.C.
New York, Chicago, D.C., West Lynn.
London. Big market.
That was all it.
Emerging market folks.
I never heard of it. I was like, oh.
I haven't either, but that, you know, I mean, that is, you know, an option, certainly. Okay. So, recapping, since you were present, what would you say was the overall feeling? Did they, you know, would you say, oh, that went very well? Mm-hmm. Or did you say they feel like we were tasked with some ideas that maybe we'd already done? You know, how did you feel? What was the takeaway?
No, I thought it was really good. It was very good feedback they were giving us. They seemed, you know, mostly in support of everything we were doing and thanked us and stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Any comments on this? Is that what John? So, I'm sorry, go ahead, Russ.
I was just saying they made the Highway 43 rezoning. They made it more of a priority and said that we would then make a recommendation to the council to do it.
Yeah, I think it was still a matter of staff time. I mean, John still reiterated that they don't think they have the time to do it with all the bond projects and stuff going on, so that it might be a 2020 project and more than this year.
So does that mean it's futile to make the recommendation, or we just do it and
that was my
table
next
it,
question.
Or how does that work?
Well, I think if it goes like it would be like when we did the mixed use project, yeah, where there would be a separate task force or whatever, what you call it? Is it official word for it?
Working group.
Working group.
Yeah.
That would work on the outside of us, just us, but we could frame like what we want to see, and then the working group would work on it.
Yeah, it would have to be somewhat of a similar process, but
yeah, bigger,
multiplied.
Bigger,
yeah. I mean, everyone was pretty much in agreement about the changes that were made through the working group, where you're going to have a larger set of property owners with many different interests and a lot of different zoning equations to work out.
Because I think the way that like Russ felt is that, you know, if Metro is forcing us to create density, that it would make sense to have density along 43, you know, so with the mixed use type thing with your retail on the bottom and apartments above, that would be the best place to start throwing in, you know, higher density housing and stuff like that. So
do we have that now?
Yeah, Metro's
43?
No, we don't.
So, okay.
Kind of.
Ahead of the game.
It's either residential or commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
there's
every
no,
other.
There's no mixed use. I don't think there's mixed use anywhere else, right? I don't know.
Only those properties that we talked about
during
the working group.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. I guess I must be missing a beat here, because it doesn't seem like a very plausible scenario, since, I mean, 43 is really quite built out already. So, I mean, would that require new construction somewhere that, I guess I'm concerned how
would
we get there?
It would be changing zoning so that it could allow for it to be built out in the future.
So they just go in and say, now it's zoned mixed use, so your house, but when you sell, a developer could buy it.
Can just build a... Okay.
Or you could put a business in there, or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. It's more
looking 10 or 20 years into the future when properties start to turn over.
It's creating an environment so that you can see the type of development you want.
Okay. So it's not a house surrounded by commercial, just out of place.
Okay.
Like, for the instance, the town where I grew up in, it has a big kind of street like 43 does that, you know, goes through the whole thing, and it's basically almost all just commercial development with some apartment buildings, you know, infilled in between and stuff like that. But it's basically, if you need to go buy something, you go on that strip and know that you could pretty much get anything you want on that strip.
Yeah, it's very rare to find R10 single family detached residential zoning along a major corridor, which I'd say 40-50% of the corridor is that zoning.
And you know, as it gets busier and stuff, like, no one really wants to live there. It's not like you can't get out of your driveway.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some areas in there that are very convoluted.
Yeah.
Well, an example would be over in the old Willamette. They changed the zoning and now they're building the art gallery or something across from the police station.
Mm.
So it was a house. mm-hmm. tore it down. I think it's gonna
yeah,
be
but that's
alley.
Not. I mean, that's a little bit different. It feels like it's not cool if right because the police exit is so off the beaten path. It feels to me, but 43 is a highway.
Well, no, what I meant
Which
by
is
that
why
is
it makes sense to be mostly yeah. residential.
And what I meant by that is that it was zoned residential yeah. before that, and then the zoning changed through the working group allowed them to change it to something that wasn't okay. residential.
That means we have a map, right?
Yeah, it was down here.
No, of like the 40 of the zoning.
Zoning, I can pull that up.
There.
So that's what it would be, just changing the zone to allow.
Sure.
And if you live down there, you're residential. Well, now you can sell to a developer.
Yeah, I understand that. I just was wondering what the tangibility of this was, if this was really truly like something now in the 5 to 10 year range, or if this was really more like a 10 to 20 year range.
Well, as far as it being developed, it's probably a
10 to 20
year. But for the zoning, you, in order for that to happen 10 to 20 years around, you have to put in the zoning now to
right.
make it happen. You can't wait 20 years and change the zoning and then expect it to be then developed. Then it's going to be a slow process.
What's GC?
That's the general commercial. So this light yellow is the R10. Then you've got the commercial stretch mm-hmm. down there through Robinwood.
R2.1?
Yep, so that's high density.
Yeah,
so
apartments.
Again, R10.
So I guess this is a premature question, and it's probably something to be discussed in that working group, but I mean, what does that vision actually look like? I mean, is it for 43 to be like a walkable corridor? Because it's so car-oriented, I don't know that we're ever going
to
get away.
Yeah, I don't think it's more to be a walkable, but just as if you're driving, like I said, just to have place to put more density and then more commercial, because we don't have any other real commercial
something that would allow for
right
commercial
now.
Uses and high density
right.
residential uses.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. there's been studies shown that so the ultimate cross section is basically two travel lanes and a center turn lane with the Highway 43 plan. Mm-hmm. There's been studies showing that if you have the buildings up to the sidewalk with height, the visual corridor slows people down,
yeah,
which
right.
makes it more pedestrian friendly. Yeah.
Which is just what happened in Selwood, even before they replaced the bridge. You know, they turned, was it Tacoma Street, into, it used to be four lanes going two in each direction, and it was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was fast and busy and difficult to get through. Now they've put pedestrian islands and crosswalks and allowed the development to come up to the curb,
yeah,
or up to the sidewalks anyway.
Yeah, because right now
it changed
it's
the whole
open.
Aspect of that Selwood, the whole feel there. I
but
think
for people who use the highway as like a commuting corridor, they're going to come unglued. But
well, and it's happened. You know, look what they did with the Selwood Bridge. You know, there's a 25 mile an hour speed limit over there, and it feels like you want to go 50 over the top of it. But I think Metro was instrumental in that Tacoma Street change out over there, and it really made a big difference. I think that's part of their long range thinking, and I think it is for this Highway 43 too. Is what I've kind of gleaned from reading a little bit about it. They want to soften the whole Highway 43 thing right now. Right now, it's just it is a highway, Highway 43.
Mm-hmm.
But to put, what do you call them? Islands or
yeah, pedestrian shelters,
right?
Islands. But yeah, so the city is investing a lot of money to do the ped bike improvements in this stretch first. So, I mean, this would make sense to piggyback on that.
Yeah.
Well, good point, Matt. It's going to make people who use it as a commute upset, but that's the goal, is to stop using it as commute and get economic.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to convert me.
I mean, if you looked,
what
when you went down more.
We changed the Waze algorithm a little bit by changing the
zone. More. There's that little section I didn't even notice right there. Like, what's that? Like, there's that little commercial right there.
Oh, here?
Yeah. Like a little island of commercial right there.
It's
and
the old
then,
oh, fire, station,
you're like,
fire station.
The zoning doesn't make any sense.
No.
Well, my office is right across from it.
Yeah, and a lot of this in here has already been converted to commercial.
Oh.
Right, and they're zoned residential, but they've been commercial for,
really?
You know, 40 years.
The zoning changed or it's old?
It's just they were already in business, so there's...
It's non-conforming rather than conditional
exactly.
use or something.
Yeah, non-conforming. Yep,
what
exactly.
is the Burger, what's it called, the Burgerville condo projects that are unoccupied now? What zoning is that?
They're leasing those.
Yeah, they're finally
leasing
them.
That's what I heard,
them.
But I haven't seen anything happen.
That was R4.5.
Right?
4.5.
So still, that's not very high density. That's 4,500 square feet per unit, mm-hmm. which gets you eight units per acre, which is still...
The developer was
single family.
David Mamet. Did he get a zoning change to put that in there?
I wasn't here when that happened. I'm not sure if there was a zone change. It looks like it was a PUD, planned unit development.
Oh.
So you can do some density, some additional density with open space. And
I would imagine that that's the kind of thing that's in the future for Highway 43, once there. And not so much mixed use, but more, you know, apartments and condos, and then commercial, and then apartments, condos, and commercial as you drive along.
Yeah, but right now it's mostly R10.
Where is Sourdough Willie's on this map? I'm curious, because I talked to the owner the other day, and she said, we're going to sell. And
I've been trying to sell for a lot of years.
It's been up for sale for like 10 years.
I think she's serious about it.
Is she going to drop the price?
She's raising the price.
Well, and the thing, you know, with Merrillhurst and all that development, it's hard, you know, that could be, you know, the seed to get this moving along. And
well, that's in the Lake Oswego.
Yeah, but I mean,
people are
everyone's going through there
to get to it.
Yeah, that will drive business. That will drive investors to here. That should be looked at as a positive.
My children's perspective of that is not as rosy. They think it's just going to increase traffic.
It will.
Density.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're skeptic about it.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing is
take advantage of it.
We have to.
Isn't that the point?
We're under, you know, Metro's forcing us to have density.
Well, it's going to happen. It's got to happen. You know, infill and density is the future of metropolitan areas like this. We can't continue with sprawl. And it makes areas like this a lot more livable, I think, to do what's happening.
It's hard to be progressive if we're not progressive and we're not, you know, kind of making a way.
So we should get ahead of this thing.
And just to clarify, though, Metro doesn't make us increase density. If we expand the UGB, then we will be required to do a certain amount of units per acre. But
yeah, they have a lot of demands on us that we have to do.
They have a lot of programs and money that they would give us if we increased density.
That's how they hold us hostage.
So I'm still not sure if we making the recommendation would be a good idea or not. Because that's what we do, right? We just make recommendations to council to form a working group.
And yet they were concerned that there wasn't enough staff.
To form a working
group. Right, so there's
okay,
so
this
that we can rezone Highway 43 corridor.
So there's a planning docket that the community development director puts together every year, takes the council, then they prioritize what staff works on, and that's how our workload gets distributed. So, it would be the first move would be to get it on the docket. So I don't know if they put it on the docket or not, but put it on the docket, and then council prioritizes it, and then we dedicate staff and resources to it.
But as a committee, we could just recommend
recommend it, yeah.
Put on the docket.
Yep. And prioritized.
Does the city have a dedicated GIS person, or is that just kind of...
We do. We have a GIS coordinator. So one
person. Thinking if this work group were to kind of scribble on a map, then maybe that we could at least get maybe a few hours of that GIS person's time to translate our scribbles into something that actually makes sense.
I can do that too, because I did it for the other work
group. The work group was actually really, I thought, efficient. Yeah. It went pretty smoothly. Like, granted, it was a lot smaller area, but I thought it was
cool.
Highly effective.
If you take your time and plan out the process properly, you can get through it.
So I would just make a motion to recommend to the council to put it on the docket and prioritize the Highway 43 rezoning.
Are
Are you making a motion?
Yes.
So that working group for Willamette was a staff-led working group, is that right?
Yeah, okay. Darren and John Williams, I think it was there.
Yeah.
I don't know what that meant. All those in favor of making
aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. The motion passes.
Was there a second?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
it
was me.
Yeah.
I was the only
one. I like
the opposite. 4.5.
All right. Grandfather did.
Well, it was built in 95.
So I'll take a little fam tour up and down that corridor.
Right.
We've all driven it a billion times, but
you're like on a mission to get through. Yeah. Yeah.
The perspective is to walk it.
There you go.
To walk. If you can, the sidewalks aren't consistent.
Aren't hit by a car.
Right.
Go in like the middle of the night when no one's on it.
That's pretty scary. I live at the bottom of Mapleton, and I'll walk up to Lynn City Pub for a cheeseburger, or up to Walmart sometimes, or down the street as far as Cascade Keg.
Oh, you walk down?
Yeah, it's dangerous at night.
It's very dangerous.
Even during the day, when I used to ride
down
the bus downtown,
well.
Just crossing at Hidden Springs.
Yeah.
There's just people don't expect pedestrians.
Right. Why is there a crosswalk in the middle of my highway?
Right. Yeah.
So, okay.
We had friends that were hit down there.
Really?
Right by the McDonald's. That was Cornelius Senior and her husband.
Oh.
They were crossing and somebody wasn't looking. They were trying to see traffic and they turned, ran over both of them. This is about 3 years ago.
That's tragic.
Don't recall that.
No. Were they
injured?
Okay.
Yeah,
but
broken
no.
pelvis and a fractured leg. And so Highway 43 is dangerous.
Yeah.
And people don't do 35 miles an hour. They do 45 to 50 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, there's a big line of traffic.
And they complain about the zipper merge.
And they complain about the zipper merge as the silliest thing in the world. I'd like to be a part of that committee if it comes to fruition. The working group for the rezoning of Highway 43.
I think typically they form the group and they ask for volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, council can...
And then they
make any decision they want. They could make the EDC the working group if they have the power to do that. You
know, okay, I didn't know how it worked.
Oh, yep. Okay.
I don't either, so.
Yeah, the council appoints a working group. They don't, and not every project has to have a working group. It's at their discretion. So.
Okay. So, just reviewing, prioritizing, strategy, it feels like the next big ticket item is really that transportation component and what that would look like. Obviously, it hasn't started downtown yet, or Willamette yet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but if you want any kind of surveying to be done or anything like that, it would be
so
best to have it.
So surveying meaning just asking people or actually taking the metrics, ages that are riding, who's riding, what time they're riding, days of the week that they're riding, and that kind of thing in comparison to what we might project. Is that what they meant by survey? Or did they mean just asking, are you interested?
I don't think they were talking in generalizations. Mm-hmm. I think it's our job to decide how we go about doing stuff. They were just giving us ideas, and that's what our job is to figure out how to accomplish those goals.
Okay. So my thought on that is that we do have to have, hard data and, metrics to understand what's really going on. Again, times of day, days of the week, ages of the riders, to see, is there somebody that we should contact with that, or
I don't know. I don't know if you want just to have a survey that we could have on a business card give to everyone that rides and say go fill out this survey afterwards. to take advantage of the people that are writing it, you know, in Willamette.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my thought about, you know, how to go about without, like I said, hiring a consultant to really do it.
I know, but do we need to hire a consultant for that? I mean, if we want to get in the nitty-gritty, perhaps, but I mean, but if people are actually purchasing it, a ticket, or is this going to be free? So I'm hesitant to say someone fill out a card. I have to be honest, I would not probably do this. Or I'd get busy, it would be in the back of the car. You know, I don't know
how else are you going to get the information?
Oh, I don't know. Do you have somebody who's asking, hi, what's your age?
Single
married,
so the
age, number of children. Would you pay for
so
this?
So the shuttle is to take people from the commercial area down to the park, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's simple. Do you live in West Lynn? Are you visiting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you live in West Lynn, if you lived on top of the hill, would you bring a shuttle down to Willamette instead of driving? I mean, that would be the general questions. That would be the only way you could
keep it simple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Figure out if, I mean, then I guess the next question would be, would you be willing to pay if you could
right.
take a shuttle from somewhere to somewhere? And that would give you an answer right away that
you're
going to put a bunch of money into something that people are like, no
so
way.
Are you
youth
a resident?
Would be the biggest
right.
riders, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
What's hmm? That?
Am I stating the obvious? That youth would be the biggest ridership? I
don't know.
No?
I think. I mean, the time of year we're doing it is probably going to be families because it's going to be a lot of the softball people down there for tournaments.
Yeah.
So you probably will have
a lot of out-towners.
Well, especially during those months. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was also about the water sports, trying to get that going down there so people would kayak and then go up and have a beer.
I'm thinking too far in the future. I guess I'm thinking if there was actually like a West Lynn loop.
Then it would be a lot of kids probably.
Who can drive, yeah.
And I think that's one of the ways they're looking at to help alleviate some of the high school parking issues is maybe if there was a shuttle,
mm-hmm.
the kids could just jump on the shuttle after school and go back home instead of parking.
Yeah. I mean, they do have the later bus hour that leaves, you know, at 5-ish or something, but obviously any children that go to a later practice, you know, it doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
If you made it like an easy punch card type survey, does anyone need a pen? The driver could encourage, like, please take this and fill it out, and they just drop it in the box.
Oh, I was just thinking just have a website where you just give them the card for the website, and they just go fill it out online, or they can fill it out on their phone while they're in the bus.
I probably wouldn't do that as a writer.
I would.
Well,
I would do that.
Incentive, like, you know, you
free ice cream cone.
Cheeseburger at Five Guys or whatever.
Yeah, if there was an incentive, but I don't think that I would do. Or I'd be like, oh, I'm going to do it. I'll do it when I get home. I'm going to do it, you know, when I get to the car, you know, or walk home. I feel like that might go to reach 1% of the population that's actually riding because nobody will do it.
I was thinking it was just something like a little 3x5. They pick it up when they get on. They drop it off when they get off, and it's just like a little...
Time's like, running out, and that seems like the simplest thing.
Like little...
They can't get off the car, the bus, until they...
Yeah, there you go.
And the door doesn't open, and, you know, it's like
it's
the ticket.
It's free if you fill out this card. Otherwise, you got to pay a buck.
Right? That you could actually do a little joke. They'd be like,
As long as the drivers are promoting it, like, hey, make sure you fill out our survey. Did you get your survey?
Yeah.
It really means a lot if you fill out.
And put your email. I think there could be some incentive,
well, I was
like
thinking,
you said.
There could be a drawing as well for a cheeseburger.
For a cheeseburger.
Yeah, well, something up
then
there.
Then I would so do it.
The merchants would gladly
but if
give
it's
a
just
gift certificate
it
for
require a, pen.
A skull and a
Cafe
or something.
Yeah. No,
I think
that that's probably...
Well,
the way to go to get
you can also take a two-pronged approach to it also, so have a voluntary at least fill the survey out, then have a couple of days when it's summer where a couple of volunteers actually
be on the
get
bus?
On the bus and ask people
yeah.
questions when they're getting off the bus when
yeah.
they're waiting to get on the bus.
I think
then,
that's a great idea,
and then you could get more people to actually
I mean you're volunteering
I will volunteer for
right.
that I will volunteer. Does that mean you're volunteering because you like suggested that I volunteer? I feel like
no, you just thought it was such a good idea.
I do think it's a good idea. So.
We can nominate the vice chair to go.
Well, no.
He's not here, so I was like,
so yeah, just a thought.
Just a thought. No, I think okay. Look at this brainstorming, creative. Creative juices flowing. Okay.
Or you can even do like those little golf pen pencils if you needed to write something. But just 3.5, 4, 5 questions. Take one, fill it out, drop it off. Because they're not writing very far. So.
No, so just mean a brief minute.
Check, check, check.
Yeah, just simple checkbox.
I think you'd get enough energy.
So we get some raw data. What do we do with it?
Well, it was the feasibility of creating a...
Well, that's the big question.
Out of 300 returns, we know that, you know, you're here, there's 12% of respondents are from out of town. Or
right.
They would support a better shuttle system into tie it into Oregon City or something.
I think probably is just going to end up being at this early of the game support for that. That's something that, you know,
further develop, like,
further develop, you know, either the study or move forward and like let's seriously think what would this look like?
Okay, so
Matt is your wheelhouse.
I would think it would be step one of like a 5-step process.
Yeah.
Just to see if there's interest.
But it's entry into it to see.
Yeah, and then council's got to make a decision whether they want to. Yeah. Actually throw money at it and hire someone to do a feasibility study. This would just be like sort of the first grab at some data.
What are the questions? You know, what are the questions going to be in order to...
Well, we probably have to form a little group or, you know, mull that over.
So we're at May 10th here? Or 11th? 9th?
9th?
8th.
Early May?
The shuttle's starting soon. It's going to run June, July, and August, right?
Mm-hmm. Who's doing it?
So we got another. We have another meeting, 1st of June.
Hopefully, it starts running June, July, August. I don't think we officially have the grant, so I don't know if we should be.
Oh, I thought
spending the money.
I thought we recommended they get the money.
We did, but council has to pass it still.
Oh.
So that'll be what, next Monday?
I don't know. I don't know when it's on the agenda to be passed. But I'm like, should we be spending? And the same thing with the ski team. I'm like, I don't know if we should spend the money till it's officially
right,
passed.
Right, so which is probably best, yeah.
We meet again on the 11th.
June. And
by that time, it'll be gone, right?
Which is fine. I mean, because we're not going to, you know, we probably won't do it the first day they are up and running, you know. But I would suggest that we do sometime in June, sometime in July, sometime in August. You know, 3 intervals but of...
When's the old time fair?
July 20th.
Oh, well, lots of time.
Well, where would the funding for the little, like, just the materials for
that's
the
what I was
survey come from?
Would they be supportive of this, the city?
Hunting costs?
Yeah.
Yes?
I don't want to speak for people who control budgets, but I would imagine that we can find...
Printing money.
You know, $50 or whatever to print off. I mean, we can print 3x5 cards right here on this printer. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Do we have a budget in the EDC?
No.
Or any of that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. No. No. Do you know about that? Or maybe that's more for John Morgan to touch on.
Yeah, there's an economic development
stipend
budget line item. So I don't know if there's like materials and services as part of that, but again, it wouldn't be like you're spending thousands of dollars. It would just be
right.
Yeah, it's hard to do any of this without having some sort of funding, you know, or monies.
Yeah, I think
towards
most are talking about $50 in printing. I think.
All right, so I'll check with John.
Yeah, and a little baby.
And I think if they print it here, I don't even know if it just comes out of the general printing office supplies budget or whatever. If it has to be. I don't know how you guys budget if you have to line item your printing costs or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty general.
Okay.
So if we came up with 5 questions, we could find out and actually have them ready by June.
Because when does it start? June what? Do you know?
Ideally, it's supposed to start June 1st, but I don't know. Like
June
I said,
1st.
Don't know if it's going to happen because I don't know if we should buy supplies without...
Which is an interesting date. I'm not sure what time the schools
or not June 1st, whatever this first weekend is. Because I forgot it's only on the weekends, so.
It's only weekends?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, June 1st is a Saturday, so it'll be June 1st.
Okay, so only weekends, all right.
Yeah. It's only going to go Saturday, Sunday. I think it goes 10 to 6 Saturday and 11 to 5 Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So if it's every weekend in June, I mean, we could certainly, probably the first weekend of June isn't, you know, necessarily
taking a five question
feasible. Thing. I mean, right. Quickly, are you writing the questions down?
I'm just noodling.
Look at you already.
I'm noodling.
I'll see you on the bus. All right, so,
I mean, you could see when, like, the big softball tournaments are, because that's probably when the bulk of people might be using it, when you have the bulk of the people there.
I part of me feels like we should not only be doing this on weekends that there are big, big events, right, that we know that, like, the fair or the big softball tournament, but we should actually do it on a weekend in which it is normal flow. To see what would this realistically be, because there's not always grandiose activities, and, you know, kind of skews the numbers a little bit.
Right, the beer garden delivery from the beer garden up to the beer jar joints upstairs.
Which is wonderful, except that's not an accurate portrayal of what it might look like for the community. So, okay. You guys are creating some questions over here.
Sorry.
Oh, no, I like
we're off
it.
Task.
No. On task, just, you know, tasking.
Well, we want to limit it to like five questions, right? So I just had two. I don't know what you had on there.
I just have where do you live? And it could be as simple as are you a resident or not? But I just had Westland, LO, OC, or other. But I don't know that granularity is necessary. Just resident or not.
Right. Like, because the idea is like, is it. I would think the idea for feasibility, is it mostly residents or is it mostly out-of-towners?
I think so, yeah.
So are you Westland resident? Circle one, yes.
Yeah.
No. Your age, less than 18, 19 to 35, 36 to 55, over 56, like circle one. Make it really easy.
And I have, would you pay for this shuttle service, yes, no, and then a follow-up, how much would you pay maximum?
I also wonder, is it important to know if it's them riding alone or them riding with others? You know, I don't know, does anyone, you know, if it's just me hopping on the bus to get to point A, to get to, you know, from A to B, or am I saying, you know what, we're going down here for dinner, or grab a drink or something, and, you know, there's multiple people, or me and the kids, or, you know, or whatever. So, is that relevant, do you think?
I wouldn't think so.
No?
Because if the goal is to get every rider, like, let's say you were riding it together. Like, and you both fill one out, and you both say that you're with somebody else. Like,
I know, but what we probably, if we were writing together, we would just say, you might say, or how many people are in your party? You know, two, or something like that. Mark ages accordingly, or, you know, or two children involved, or something like this.
I guess number and party would be relevant for...
I would think number and party, because...
Like, maybe if you only do one for your family.
Yeah, because then I might say I'm with two other people, or...
So you just have, like, a blank line number in your party?
Yeah, number in your party. And then people, by default, will say, yes, I'm a resident, and one is a non-resident or something. You know, it seems like they might, or at least I might fill it out that way.
Maybe.
If I was there with, you know, somebody that didn't live with me.
Well, that takes us to five questions. Are you a resident? Age? Would you pay for this shuttle service? Would you utilize a paid shuttle service to get around West Lynn or something that's worded better than that? And then how many riders are in your party?
I feel like this third and fourth one are kind of the same.
Say three and four again?
Yeah, there's some overlap there. Third I had, would you pay for this shuttle service?
Okay.
Yes or no?
Would
you utilize a paid shuttle service to get around West Lynn? The rest of Westland.
Yeah, I think, I would agree. Those two can kind of be combined somehow.
just through there. Say, would you utilize a paid shuttle service to get around the rest of Westin?
Yeah, exactly.
And how much?
Right. Your answers could be yes, a dollar. Or no, yes, a dollar.
There you go.
Yes, $2, up to $2, or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, no, with.
Or you just have a yes, and then underneath
and then
the
a
yes,
money
like
sign,
one, two,
and then
three.
A blank. You know what I'm saying?
And then a no. There's nothing else.
I don't know what it costs for that Forest Grove one.
So, is this something...
building this on.
Do we need a motion for this? Or just do it? We can just
to
do it?
To create a survey?
To do all... Yeah. Do we need to create a motion
for this?
Yeah, you
don't need a motion. Yeah, you can just do it.
All right. So, we're creating the questions now. All right? Is that easy?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like
we
might as well get
efficient
it done.
We are.
Right? We're all here.
We're all here. So, okay, well, you have the questions, and then...
I would have pictured it something like that. Like, would you pay for someone to get around the rest of Westland with the yes? Mm-hmm.
Do you have the contact on this? So can you coordinate with the contact?
Okay.
The actual dates and stuff like that, and then we can, on our next meeting, come together and figure out the exact dates. Does that work?
What do you mean? Not sure what you mean. What do you need me to coordinate?
The schedule of the bus. And is there a contact person to
I'm running the grant.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, just like I said, it's just Friday, Saturday, 10 to 6 and 11 to 5.
So we basically could just pick whenever we want to do
it.
So I think a realistic is one day each month. You
for
know?
The service?
Yeah.
Why not?
Just put them on the bus. With the driver.
Oh, so don't even be there? You don't even have to be there?
I mean,
well, yeah,
one,
you can,
for a volunteer, maybe one day. But
well, if you
want
to get there and actually survey and talk to people.
I don't think there's any... I mean, people are far more engaged when they start to build the relationship and cultivate, like, your interest. And there's more buy-in and there's more investment into the community. And they're like, well, you know, I would love this. And, you know, I hadn't thought about that. And so it kind of the creative juices for the community. It's another option to say, to get community buy-in if we're worried. How does the community feel? It seems to me that the community has often felt they haven't been involved or their voice hasn't been heard. So this could be an opportunity for them to share face to face.
Maybe, but then how are you going to turn that into quantifiable data? So I heard from a couple people that they really liked it.
I'm going to have a clipboard. I mean, what do you suggest? I mean, the only way to get out there is to actually ask people how things are going or provide a survey. So this way, I mean, I'm in the relationship business, so it feels to me that when you are actually investing your time, people will reciprocate that if they feel like you're really being true to.
I don't disagree, and I preface what I thought you were talking about was only having the survey on the van or bus one day a month, and I was like,
no, I think
time?
It should be on the whole time. I was thinking more of like
an individual
a participant
the
should be there.
The two-pronged approach that Darren suggested.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I misunderstood.
I mean, I think the driver, yeah, we'd have to talk to the driver, but I think the driver would be fine saying, you know, here's a survey, would you mind filling out
Please
a survey
sure
or whatever.
Just put it in the job description, right? Handout survey?
Well, it's the Dole Community Center bus and drivers.
Oh, okay.
They're already
so
employed.
Pick it up before they get in and then deposit it before they leave.
I can noodle with formatting and then send something out to the group to look at. So.
All right.
I just think it should be easy. Check boxes or circles.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, you make 4 questions, 5 questions, and I just circle them. You can even, if it's a 3.5 by 5 card, you can put on the back for comments. If anybody wants to fill out more detailed, like, this is awesome, or, like, stop wasting my money.
And we could even put, yeah.
There's going to be those.
Whichever
contact,
one.
One of us, you know, they can contact us if they have thoughts, or an email, they can email us, or, you know, if, for whatever reason, sometimes maybe they don't fill it out, but then they end up emailing, you know, they can take picture of it or something, I don't know.
So
I cannot find out how much this
to
cost.
Provide comments, email dweiss at City of Westland.
we'd have some.
Yeah.
I think this group probably has an email address.
Okay.
I don't know who checks it or who it gets routed to, but I'm pretty sure you probably
have it on the back. On the back it says comments. And then would you like to be followed up with?
If you go to the EDC page on the website, I think there's a link to
your
email.
Yeah, just gonna go there.
Maybe it was referencing personal.
I was thinking if they want somebody to reach out to them.
What's that?
So we have the questions on one side, on the back we have comments, and then on the bottom is, do you want to be contacted?
Yeah.
And then it could just be a simple email from the EDC to them.
Yeah.
That they can reply to.
I cannot find how much the show costs. How can you not have prices on any of
them? Oh, John. They have John on there. Or John Morgan also is plenty.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Well, good. Okay, so we... So then, our next meeting, you'll have shout out the questions to us. You can... And then...
Well, it's May 9th now, right? And it starts 1st of June. I would say if we can...
Yeah, I'll try and get something done in the next few days.
Okay.
Next week. I'll say next week.
I need it by tomorrow.
Okay.
Next week, and then we can email approve.
We can't do it through email.
It's an illegal meeting.
It creates a meeting.
Yeah.
So there's the email address.
But if you, isn't it if you go through John, if you send it to John.
Yeah, you can send John comments.
He can then
send it to everyone.
Send information out. So that's how.
Yeah.
Or you have to copy John and it makes it archived.
I mean, as long as the group isn't deliberating toward a decision, then I think we're okay. But yeah, I'll just shoot it to John and John can distribute it.
Yeah, and then when you comment, just comment to John, don't reply all.
Right.
Because that's what creates the meeting, is the reply alls.
Yeah. Okay.
Make sure you save your notes, too.
All right. anything else on this? That was good. That was moving along. Yeah?
Where are we right now?
We're kind of like on number 4.
Seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
4-point-ish.
4-point-ish.
We're working through the action plan.
And then if you wanted another survey to have at the farmer's market for general EDC stuff, you would probably want to do that by next time, too, because the farmer's market starts. So just leave at the info booth, and we can ask people to fill it out.
It seems like it's going to get very little traction. That's me being a cynic.
I go to farmer's markets, but I wouldn't fill.
And I'm sure, and what is this information going to do with the community? He says, I don't know what the EDC is. We already know that. I went to the president's neighborhood association presidents. I've visited with a number of people. Nobody knows what we are.
Well,
so
you could have a description of what the EDC does on the survey.
And so let's say we do that.
I don't know. That was just one of the suggestions that councils gave us. So I'm just giving you the information.
Seems like something distributed through the city's listserv or social media or both would get a lot more responses than paper at the farmer's market. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be better served to like a Survey Monkey and have it available for anybody to fill out.
But
they're really not surveying. They are, but they're really just saying, do you know what the EDC is? Do you know what they do? No. You know, I mean...
You want to know.
I feel like we're kind of... It's a little bit... For me, it seems like there's a little hiccup here on what do we do with this information that the city doesn't... Or the community doesn't know what the EDC is. We already know that. And how will this help?
Well, I would also argue that we've already got enough, more than enough for volunteers, staff, and what funding will allow. So why are we asking for more input and ideas?
What was the council's goal of surveying recipients of the
farmer's market?
What was the information?
Just involvement?
Just to see survey what other citizens would like to see the EDC work on?
Well, this is going to sound like, you know, a thorn in the side, but they could all come here. We could have more participants of the community that came to our meetings, but it seems like if there was something specific like the waterfront, that would be more tangible and something to really sink their teeth and be like, oh, the waterfront's coming on?
Well,
and talking about that rather than this broad...
I kind of agree with Matt and the cynicism of it, but I'm going to go the other direction and just throw the idea out there that if you frame it outside of what would you like to see the EDC work on and put it as a question, what kind of economic development would you like to see as opposed to like something along those lines? Mm-hmm. Like what kind of businesses would you want to or would you use or what kind of like those kinds of things? The idea would be maybe you're not going to get consensus, but you might get one good idea out of 50, and that could be something that we could run with.
Mm-hmm.
So I would.
There's a survey. Maybe it is a good idea on our website, the Economic Development Council Committee website for West Lynn, August 31st, 2016. It looks like it's probably 20 questions long. So
no, I don't think. I think that's too complicated. I was just thinking something, again, 3.5 by 5. Like, what kind of businesses would you like to see in Westland?
You know what they're going to say? Well, I don't know. This is my assumption. Can you guys please bring in a bigger grocery store? Can you guys do something with the old Albertsons? I mean, it's going to become a complaint forum of stuff we already know, unless we specifically narrow it down and say, do you want a sports store here? Or do you want a hotel and where?
I disagree that we're going to get a lot of we need grocery store or something like that. I'm looking for the gym and the, right? We're looking for the, like, we already know that we need another grocery store. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for ideas that we can run with. And if somebody comes up and says, I'd really like to see, like, water sports on the Willamette River.
But I think they did a survey like this that said,
know,
what do you feel like we need?
I know, that's why it was easy for me to use that as an example.
To what extent can we actually affect what people say?
If we're rezoning Highway 43 and somebody says, I really think a theater would be good there, like, well, let's talk about that or something. Like, I'm just...
Yeah, a devil's advocate says they're going to be like, in 20 years, I'll have moved away. So today's answer doesn't matter. Today, I want a movie theater. 20 years, I'd just be like, I don't want any traffic. You know, so I don't know if I think that this is a very good use of time and energy and resources. That's just my opinion.
I would second that. I understand their desire... incessant desire to have citizen involvement. I get it, but this is citizen involvement.
It's true.
That's my two cents.
I wish Jules was here so that she could speak for council. So we could table it.
Yeah,
wait for her to see how important it
was. I think we have two things, you know, right now that, well, we motioned, and then, but this transportation. You know, we don't want to take too much on, I feel like. I mean, we want to take enough that we actually do the jobs, you know, do the action items rather than just talking about everything. So,
well, we've made a motion. We have to wait to see.
I agree.
And then we're doing the survey.
Yeah, which I think is great.
I was just thinking.
I just found out we do have to hire our own driver, so then we can make him put out the survey.
Okay, perfect. You will do this. And then what's the other one that's tangible? We can meet with the Parks and Rec? Was that one of the last ones, right?
Yeah, so Parks and Rec to work on, you know, how we can increase water tourism, water-based tourism.
So we can make, they did come the one time, or the one, I've forgotten who it was, maybe it wasn't Parks and Rec, but I think, that's an easy check off the
box. I think they actually meet the same time. Or like an hour, they start like a little bit later. Yeah.
They start at 7.
Yeah.
Are they in the room that we walk past?
Yeah. The bowling room, yeah.
Okay.
That's when we walk past.
Yeah, that's it.
So maybe we could just have a joint meeting because we're all already
here. We're already here, yeah. I mean, that seems like something we can easily move forward with and coordinate. So on that, can we have John Morgan reach out to them and Can we task him with that? Since he's not here, he can't say no.
Does John, I know you hear this. Want to be involved with that, or is it?
No.
Okay.
So let's have John reach out and take a pulse on that. And he can report back. Ugh. All right. Good. Anything else on this, guys? No? All right. Any new business? I don't have anything listed on here on the agenda. Anybody have anything to add? No? All right. Other items of interest. EDC members may share. Matt, anything to share? No?
Anything to share with the group? No, but I will at the next meeting.
Okay.
Dun dun dun.
I know.
The suspense.
Can we have a little teaser, a little trailer?
Sure. I've talked with a couple of people about my volunteering here on the Economic Development Committee. And I explained to them a little bit about the money that we didn't authorize, but we suggested it was okay to give 20,000 or what was it? I forget, 15,000 for bocce ball and, you know, trying to repair these little pet projects that were happening. And a concern is, how about doing something that's really in the economic interests of the city? You know, how about some big projects? How about something substantial? Bring in a hotel. You know, So I'm talking more with my friends about this, and I'll have a better explanation of their concerns at the next meeting, probably.
One thing to keep in mind is that the money that we distribute, those are county dollars, not state dollars. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't quite understand. You know, I'm new to the whole thing here, although I am on another board and kind of know how it functions, but this is all sort of new to me, so I'm sort of playing catch up and not really sure the direction that the committee goes or what really, you know, efforts or emphasis this committee can have. So
those were, following off of what Matt said, that was county dollars raised through like hotel, when you
taxes.
Get a hotel, you
transient
get the
lodging tax.
Transient lodging tax, right.
And it was specifically to try to drive tourism, linger
mm-hmm.
longer, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they've been doing that, this grant program in every city in Clackamas County for ever.
Very
long
time.
So it's a larger point, it sounds like.
They'd like to see the city do something more ambitious in terms of economic development.
That's right. The only thing that I could really offer was, you know, I didn't have much experience with what we were doing with that money or where it came from or anything. But the way that I could explain it made it sound like they were small, non-essential projects that were being handed money that didn't need to have money. So as I go along and I understand better, I'll have better input, I think.
Okay. It's like we have to give it away or it just goes to nothing.
We can only go to the people that actually put in applications. The keepers of distribution.
Yeah.
Sure, and I appreciate that. I think when I first wanted to get involved with this committee, it was at John Morgan's insistence about 3 years ago when I became involved with the Willamette Falls Heritage Foundation. He thought that I should sort of pair the two together and that I could have some influence over what happened down at Westland Paper Mill. And so I think I'm looking at bigger picture stuff, and I'm surprised that these small things are here in this room, in this committee. I thought we were doing bigger projects. But I do appreciate the small things that are happening.
Yeah, and that's just, we just do that one thing once a year, and that's the only kind of project that we do. And I think I thought
it was really cool to watch that, you know, and I was surprised that, I forget which group it was that requested a lot of money.
Pickleball.
Was it pickleball? And that they had already received $65,000
yeah.
think they just applied everywhere, didn't they?
Yeah,
and that shotgun approach that I can appreciate too.
Grant
writers looking for money everywhere they can.
If you met the guy that wrote that grant, he's pretty interesting.
Really? Who's that?
He's very passionate about pickleball.
The pickleball people are very passionate about it. There are a lot of them are my customers, and I know, and they would like to tell me about how great the sport is every single time I talk to them, and how it's growing.
I think it was the guy that
wrote that. I went to a horseshoes
tournament in Victoria, British Columbia. You know, that was a big deal. It was like the Kentucky Derby. You had to have the right hat.
Yeah. If people get serious about things, man.
Sure. And little things like that make a community. I really feel that. You know, it's important to have Westland, pickleball capital of the Northwest. Yeah.
And I was in a little town of 8,000 up in Washington, like 7,000, 8,000 max. And every year they have what's called an Oyster Fest. And like the population would surge to like 30,000 for that one weekend. Mm-hmm. And one day they'd raise $250,000 and it would all go back to projects in the, it was put on by the Lions Club or something like that. But people came from all over.
They had a ski shop in Sisters, Oregon in the early 80s. And, you know, I was involved there. We had all kinds of stuff going on. We had outhouse races. And things evolved and turned into big deals, like the Sisters Quilt Festival. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty well known. The Sisters Bluegrass Festival. All those were very embryonic, you know, 30 years ago. And now all of a sudden they sustain the town through certain parts of the year. Mm-hmm.
I think one thing to keep in mind is that we're an advisory group, so we don't have a lot of push or pull. Mm-hmm. We just advise. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we don't get to make any decisions. Mm-hmm. Just throw around some advice and some recommendations, and please think about doing this. So it does fall, or it feels like many times it falls on deaf ears. Hence, you going forward and speaking to council, but. You know, on the other hand, it's baby steps, and, you know, everything is evolving and changing, and so we aren't going to have big tasks because we aren't given a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. We just are here to advise. So,
I totally forgot. It reminded me of something council also said at the meeting. That wasn't on John's sheet, but I can't remember what it was now. Something else fired.
Okay.
I'm getting old.
Was it about this organization, this committee?
It was.
They say you guys do good work for the city, and we're happy to have you come and talk to us.
They did. They did say that.
Oh, okay, good. That's good feedback.
It's something else that we've discussed in the past. Oh, I know. So it made me think of Albertsons. So they did say, you know, asking about if there was anything we could do to stop these vacancies and, you know, penalize the property owners. And so, you know, I told them that we had already looked into that and that, you know, legal came back to us and said that the cost of doing that would be outweigh any of the, you know, benefit of it. But they do say that they would like us to keep that in mind of, like, you know, I guess Russ talks to other city mayors and stuff like that when he's at things about what they're doing for their big vacancies and stuff like that. And, you know, I told him the only thing that we thought we could do without too much work would be sign code enforcement. So, like, you know, their for lease sign can only be up for so long and then it has to come down.
But who's actually going to go sign code? Do that? Who's going to enforce that?
Well, there's code enforcement officers in the city that enforce code, but it seems like they're talking about maybe hiring another code enforcement person from the budget hearings.
Mm. Well, the idea behind the sign permits was make them a short duration so that they have to renew
them. Yeah, which is what
renew them, they had to
the
get
sign code now is. They can only be up for like a maximum of 30 days or something like that for your short-term temporary signs.
Oh. For lease signs, though, they can be up indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, that would that would defeat your purpose to say you can only have your lease sign up for 60 days, then you have to take it down. Yeah. If you want places leased, you got to have the sign up.
Yeah, but you can't leave it up for like 5 years.
Well, the code, allows them.
Yeah, so that's what you could change the code then, so that they can't have their sign codes up for.
I mean, if they really want us to get creative in trying to solve the issue of certain vacancies, like if we just look at Albertsons in general, it's probably going to require some sort of incentive, mm-hmm. some sort of message to the development community that we are here to work with you and not make your life hell.
I feel like if we start penalizing people, then we have the stigma that we don't want to move to Westland and we don't want to put our business in Westland. And, and here's why, because, you know, they're going to crack down. I don't think that's the way to draw it in.
I mean, that incentivizes the business owner, but I think it's more penalizing the property owner for not negotiating better lease rates and that kind of stuff, not penalizing the business owner.
I think the aftershock of that will be far more detrimental than if we figure out a creative way to provide incentive for people to want to be here rather than
a carrot rather than a stick.
Yeah, you know, yeah, the sugar versus the
vinegar. Yeah, but you still have the thing if people want to be here but can't be here because of the extraordinary rent costs, and that is on the property owner where they're not negotiating their rents.
But aren't rents high everywhere? I mean, rents are high everywhere, so we're clearly somehow
rents
we're
are not high everywhere. Rents are like 25% lower in Oregon City, so you could go over the bridge and get a lot lower rent than you can in Westland.
I don't know if your experience in negotiating leases in the city. You go talk to them, and there's zero negotiation.
Yeah, they're not willing to work with people. That's a problem.
Paid or not.
If they take no rent on the year, then they can write it off. Is my understanding. If they take a discounted rate.
But I basically had that with and this was just a single guy. It wasn't even a corporation that I tried to rent a place from. And we were arguing over $100 a month. And he basically said, I would rather it sit empty than take $100 less a month. And it sat empty for 18 months after
actually talked to commercial realtors, and the property owners, like the building that has the Legacy Health over there by Ace Hardware. Like big buildings like that, they anticipate and expect 75% vacancy or 25% vacancy,
mm-hmm.
and they don't care if it gets leased to full capacity.
I mean, you have stuff.
So there needs to be an incentive.
It's not for the business owners, though. There needs to be something.
The business owner is the one that suffers. Because
business owners are the ones suffering.
They stick their feet in the sand and they say, "I'm not moving. This is my rent. Pay it or leave it." And so how are you going to incentivize that property owner? Because that's what their business plan is, 75% capacity.
You have in Willamette Marketplace where five guys are, there's literally vacancies in there where have never been built out since that building was built.
They still have 12
years ago. No one has ever been in that spot.
Upstairs somewhere?
No,
downstairs. Right next to Kuman.
Yep. There's one there, and there's one by in between Active Edge.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looked at it when I first moved to Westland in 2013. I was looking at it, and I was like, whoa, that's really expensive. And they were like, yeah, that's just the price. And I was like, whoa. They were like, no, that's the price. And I was like, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
But that's how they form a business plan. They build these big buildings, and they expect 75% capacity.
Get that right off.
And I don't disagree, there's carrots and sticks, right? But what's the carrot you're going to give to a property owner?
Well, you still took a place here in Westland, though. So you still decided to someone's point, you could have gone to Oregon City. But you chose to stay here, so...
Because his commute, I mean, they want to live where you live.
It's not that far. I mean, some people are commuting on completely over...
I don't know, I have a 2-block commute. I'm willing to pay...
Yeah, I know.
I'm willing to pay an extra $400 a month to be 2 blocks away.
So part of my decision to stay in Westland was not because it was Westland and I really want to be here. As a business owner, the business that I was taking over was part of this community. Like, I was not going to move it out of Westland. So I had to
territory,
find somewhere else.
Right?
Right. If I move to Oregon City, I'm in a different, completely different group. If I move to Lake Oswego, different group.
It's true, but it is a choice. You still made a choice to stay, whether you decided to uproot and relocate your business or not. You chose to stay here and pay that. And it's hard for me to understand the tax write-off and all that, but there is a component in which everybody has a choice. So if it really is that bad, go across the river. or go up the road. I mean, you still have a choice at the end of the day, and people commute all the time.
They do,
for
but
hours
the
on
whole
end.
Point of us being here is to make it so people want to do business and can do business where they live.
So exactly. So the
so we're supposed to be trying to help people to do business where they live, and what's preventing us from doing that is these property owners who have extraordinary, outrageous rent.
But yes, they can go somewhere else, but we want them to come here. Yes. I made a decision not, it wasn't uprooting or not uprooting. I made a decision to pick a business in Westland, and that's where I was like taking it over. I'm not going to take it over and move it.
I think I opened a can of worms. Too. Right. my point was just that telling us to try and do something about these vacancies is frustrating to hear for me, because it's like, what are we actually going to do? We, this
well,
volunteer advisory committee.
Well, yeah.
How are we going to move that property?
We aren't, but we can give council yeah. idea, and we did give council the idea of charging, you know, charging for having vacancies, which is John ran it through legal, and that's when we came back where.
Well,
that's what other cities
looking
do.
At something like, look, if there's a change of use in that Albertsons building, it's probably going to trigger obscene SDCs. So. Why not discount or defer or waive SDCs and put an offering out on the street that says, look, this is what we're offering. Bring us your most creative use. We bring that to the community and say, what does the community
that would,
want?
That, see, mean, that's an
these
idea.
These are the type of creative...
That is a carrot.
That is a good idea. And I've
but
said that, like, in Senate, like, with dealing with... And in getting a business here, getting a grocery store here, that we, you know, waive the street maintenance fees that's, like, $100,000 or something ridiculous... For the street maintenance fee for Albertsons, because when they did that street maintenance fee change several years ago, it penalized the big shopping centers like that and helped the smaller business owners. But we could waive those kind of fees and stuff like that to get an Albertsons in here.
Well, I mean, it's not unthinkable either, because it's not new development.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
yeah, there's pretty much three things that the city can control, right? Zoning,
yeah.
Fees, charges. And then the process to do something. So those are the three things that this group could really have influence over.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Well, the idea behind, so when John came back from legal and said that's just not going to work or whatever, like all of the roadblocks and that, so then.
For penalizing, you mean?
Penalizing mm-hmm. for vacancies. And I was like, well, what if we make the brokers pay a nominal permit fee? That has to be renewed every 60 days, and in order
to permit to market the property,
like for leasing, right?
Okay.
And but the idea was just to have the permit fee pay for the staff time that it takes to collect the data for why it wasn't leased in the last 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
So then, if it's like, well, who looked at it? Why didn't they lease it? What type of business were they looking at?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing, and then so the city could use that information to change zoning or a process. So like. Over on Old Willamette, there was Shannon. It was 2 years ago, I think. There was somebody that wanted to go in mm-hmm. to a spot, but it was like $20,000 in permit fees, and so they decided not to.
Mm-hmm.
If that was relayed, but like, how is that going to be captured by people? So that was the idea. Like, okay, well, let's find a way of getting the information of why it's not being leased, and mm-hmm. find out ways to influence things that we can. So it wasn't more of a, it wasn't a stick.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a nominal sign fee, permit fee, to have your for lease sign up. And you got to renew it every
mm-hmm.
60 days. And in order to renew it, you just have to fill out this. That was the idea.
I think understanding why it's not moving on the market is important. But maybe it's more worthwhile to just try and figure out. Not why people don't want it, but try and figure out a way to motivate people to want it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not easily done. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's simple. Anyway.
So those were the two ideas.
Yeah.
So first it was penalizing, and I was like, okay, well, let's find out why.
Yeah.
And so that was where we were going. Because okay. There is the incentive part, like, but what... Yeah, you're going to incentivize them with lower fees or anything.
All right. I do have something to share. Amanda Stein has resigned from her position here. So The vice chair role is open. She resigned due to scheduling conflicts with her job and family and erroneous commitments with school and stuff like that. Or school, PTA. Or PTO, PTA. No, something, PTA.
PTO. Wasn't there a queue of people that were
PTO isn't that part-time off. Versus PTA is a parent teacher association.
For some reason, I thought that
teacher
was.
Organization?
Like, when I was getting appointed, apparently there was like this big debate about whether or not
I thought
it
there
should
was.
Be me versus six other people.
I thought there was, and then it was revisited again, and then there was apparently no one, and then so I'm will be circling with John or circling back with John to update. Well, he already knows this already, but letting everyone here know. So probably the next meeting we'll just have to.
So vote. It's a bad time to nominate her to volunteer on the bus.
Exactly. That's why I was like, and I didn't want to jump ahead on the agenda. So, next meeting we'll plan to vote in.
Nominate.
Vote for a new vice chair. So be thinking if this is something you would like to do or contribute this and receive this title. So.
I want a raise.
I'd like a raise also. So anyways,
50%.
You're taking over for John. Do you have a report or any update on anything?
The only thing I have is the the information that John Williams sent to the group about the commercial compost food waste program that's going to be implemented. Yeah, so it's a metro region-wide program. So metro basically passed an ordinance themselves or passed a policy themselves that all the local jurisdictions have to pass an implementing ordinance by July 31st of this year. So John had sent you the
mm-hmm.
yeah, sent you the agenda bill and the ordinance, and then it gets implemented over the course of 3 years. The biggest food waste producers go first, and then the medium ones, and then the smaller ones in schools are last. So, I don't really have much more information than that, but
okay.
If you just read the information that John emailed out, it gives you a little more detail.
Is there gonna, other than the hassle of separating food, is there a cost involved for businesses?
I don't believe so. There's some
supposed to be relaying this to Willamette.
Yeah, there's some information in that agenda report bill that he sent out, so I would recommend reading that.
Okay.
And I know that they tried to set it up so there wasn't a financial hit to the businesses that are going to have to start doing this.
Okay.
I had one question. This is unrelated to the food waste stuff. If we made some progress with this Highway 43 project, is that going to trigger a need for a new EOA, traffic impact study, all that kind of expensive fun stuff?
So there would definitely be a traffic impact analysis that would have to be done as part of that. Economic opportunities analysis, no, that wouldn't trigger.
And you'd be adding to employment lands and not taking away.
Yeah.
So,
the biggest thing would be a traffic study to ensure that Highway 43 and all the other local streets.
Is that something engineering can do in-house? Would that have to go? I'm just thinking of cost implications.
Yeah, so that would have to be done by a consultant. Mm-hmm. But, so if this were to get put on the docket, then it would get prioritized. Mm-hmm. And then other projects that we sort of had in the queue would drop off.
Mm-hmm.
And then money that was dedicated to those projects would and get shifted to.
How does that work, being Highway 43 being a state highway?
So ODOT would get heavily involved in it. But ODOT does have things called transportation and growth management grants,
mm-hmm.
and they're open right now. So we could theoretically apply for it, call them TGM grants. TGM grant to look at transportation and zoning along Highway 43. Which would be a very viable project for a TGM grant.
Yeah.
Specifically, since we're investing money in doing the pet bike improvements along the corridor, so sort of piggyback right on that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what council thought it should be more of a priority. If we're already going to be making improvements to 43, that it all should take into consideration the zoning and stuff on 43.
So yeah, so we've...
If the TGM grants are open now, how does... What would be the workflow for getting, like, the process, I guess, to get in?
So we... Staff would do an application for the grant.
But only if the council puts it on the docket and prioritizes it, or...?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that could happen very quickly. Oh. I mean, the grant... I've written TGM grants before, and they... I mean, you have to put a lot of thought into it, but it's not like it takes a month to do it. You can crank it out in a few days. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk to John Williams about that.
I wonder when that grant cycle closes.
June 6th.
That's not far away.
No.
Those open up every 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah, because we discussed whether we could potentially get some money for the waterfront. We're trying to formulate whether we could package something together that would be a viable project for a TGM project.
Well, that would be part.
Yeah, so we could actually.
I mean, they'll throw $250,000 on it. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh yeah, minimum $200,000. Yeah. Yeah, I think they've got $2.5 million this round.
Okay.
All right. If nobody has any other items, announcement.
Give you my Main Street. Oh, that's right. Well, we have the wine tour on Saturday, and I think there was only 4 tickets yesterday left, so I'm not sure we have any tickets left. But
and there was 75, right?
No, there was only 34.
That's Saturday?
Yeah. But we were on KGW yesterday, in case anybody watched KGW. So Willamette got plugged, and Westland got plugged in on KGW yesterday for the wine tour.
So did you guys then repost that on Facebook or the website or anything?
Don't, because I don't think we have a little like recording of the snippet of the thing, because it was like a segment they were doing on wine and the wineries. So I think it was Campbell Lane and Pete's Mountain that were featured in that. Or no, Tumwater that were featured in that with the bus tours.
Oh, good.
And then Farmers Market. I think it's the 6th, whatever that first Wednesday is. And we have, I think, 60 vendors right now. So we've got a lot of vendors. So come out and buy stuff because the vendors will not stay if no one buys anything.
So can I just touch on the shuttle, this summer shuttle? Huh? How is it being promoted?
It will probably be mostly promoted on Facebook and then signage. It'll just have signage down there on each stop.
Can we get a little TV snippet again on this and just kind of introducing it? I mean, who knows?
We'd have to try. So our Main Street manager,
Westland Tidings,
is with Tidings, would probably do it. But our manager is done with her contract at the beginning of June, so we're going to be starting to hire a new person for that job. So we'll probably be, that's why I'm kind of doing stuff, because we don't have an official person, and we already kind of took away a lot of the stuff she was doing. So she's only doing promotions. She wasn't doing anything with grants, long story, but so she had the contact at KGW, so I'm not sure.
So I wonder if we could just call them again and be like, oh, we just, you know, here's another community event that we're initiating. You know, just make, the worst I can do is say no.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, basically what she said, you have to write up like a little, because I was trying to get the ski team to get a thing on KGW. I asked her about that. And she's like, well, you have to have 3 important points that, you know, are so different and that someone wants to pick it up and cover it, you know. So she's like, you need, what 3 things are going to be so unique and everything about what you're doing, and then you send that to them, and then they decide if it goes to the next person who will review it to see. So it's like a whole process. So I'd have to think about what about it makes it so unique that mm-hmm. they would want to cover it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, if no one has anything else, we'll take a look around. No? No. Okay. Next meeting is June 13th, 2019 at 6:30 p.m. here in this room. I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting at 8:06 May 9th. Thank you, everybody.